Good day, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Confessions of Extraordinary Catholics. Today, we're continuing looking at some of the grave violations of human dignity. We've considered Dignitas Infinita, the affirmation for human dignity put out by the Vatican. And the first part of this deals with the fact that human beings, people, have infinite value because they're made in the image and likeness of God. They're His creation. And because of that, there's infinite value in every individual. I'd like to suggest if you begin to look at people in this way, every individual, no matter where they're located, here, either your next-door neighbor or a family member or someone in a different part of the world, if you view people in this way, it will radically change much of your thinking. We've considered some of the grave violations to human dignity, and the first three we've considered, we're looking at number 4 through 6 today. And that's abusing people as objects. I think that's the thing that these three things have in common. The document mentions human trafficking, sexual abuse, and violence against women. The thing they all have in common is that people are abused as objects. They're looked upon as things with no worth except to become an object either for greed or lust or violence. Whenever people are not viewed as made in God's image as having infinite value, but when they become an object for greed or lust or violence, that's what we have here today. Let's consider these. And it's hard because these are negatives, but I think there's a bright spot that we can consider as we look through these. But in a way, they're very dark. We live in a world that's full of darkness. One of the things that Pope Francis says in this argument is under human trafficking. He says, "I reaffirm here that the trade in people is a vile activity, a disgrace to our societies that claim to be civilized." And then he exhorts looking at our conscience again, if there is a conscience, to look at it before God. And he says, in a world in which so much is said about rights, it seems that the only thing that has any rights is money. Now, that's certainly true when it comes to human trafficking. People become commodities. They become a way to make money. And just like slavery was a part of that in the past, there's slavery today. It's different flavors of slavery, but unfortunately, it continues to go on. There's a verse in the book of Sirach, the wisdom of Ben Sirach, that says this. I think it's particularly insightful. It says, "Wild donkeys of the desert are lion's prey." A lion is out to prey a donkey to get a hold of it, to eat it. "Likewise, the poor are feeding grounds for the rich." That is going on right now all over the world. The poor are the feeding grounds of the rich. Wherever you have a poor community or poor people, you're going to have people there ready to take advantage of them. And they look upon them as prey, as a way to make money. It's unfortunate, it's sad, but it goes on all the time. Consider a group of people. Again, we considered migrants the last time, but consider them as a way to make money and how people are making money off of migrants. In what way do they become feeding grounds? Well, first of all, they're exploited by gangs. The gangs recruit them. They guide them many times across to Mexico and help them to get to America, but they recruit them to carry drugs in the process. Or they exploit many of the women for prostitution. They have to have a payback. Or they use children in the sex trade, or perhaps they even sell children. But people are indebted to the gang. And what happens is many of them, when they finally get a job here in America, they're indebted to the gang. They continue to be controlled by the gang. And they again become the feeding grounds of the rich. And slave labor is part of that too. Prostitution, trafficking in children. It's one of the worst things that we can see happening in this area of human trafficking. It's not only here in America, it happens all over the place. But they're also exploited many times by corporations. They get taken advantage of, particularly in much of our poultry factories or in agriculture. We have poultry factories that shut down in certain areas because, particularly the ones where they pay some kind of a union wage, they don't want to pay a union wage for labor. So they will open up again in a right-to-work state. And in that right-to-work state, they will hire migrants many times. And of course, many of them have forged papers. They'll accept that readily. And it reminds me of a documentary I saw of one factory where those who were on the poultry line cutting up chickens had to wear diapers while they were on the poultry line, adult diapers. They weren't given time to go to the restroom. Exploitation. It happens all the time. All in the name of exploiting people to maximize profit. We see it going on all over the place. China is particularly good at that too. All over the world. Or consider those who are exploited again by simply wanting to use them as objects for sexual pleasure. We see it over and over again. That leads us to the second thing here that we're considering, and that is sexual abuse. It's a short statement here on sexual abuse in the document, and I'd like to read it. It says, "The profound dignity inherent in human beings in their entirety of mind and body also allows us to understand why all sexual abuse leaves deep scars in the hearts of those who suffer it. Indeed, those who suffer sexual abuse experience real wounds in their human dignity. The body and the soul together, when you're exploited sexually, it affects your whole being. The phenomena is widespread in society and also affects the church and represents a serious obstacle to her mission. From this stems the church's ceaseless efforts to put an end to all kinds of abuse, starting from within." Good to hear that. Many have been abused in the past, even in the church. But wherever you find, particularly children gathered, in Catholic schools, other schools, and in nurseries, wherever you find children together, you find those who are predators that are ready to take advantage of them. Because they become objects. They become things. They become objects for someone's sexual perversion. And because of that, deep scars and real wounds happens in their human dignity, especially in this area when it happens to a child. There was someone who was especially close to me, who was abused as a young girl by a relative, spent much of her life as an alcoholic and a drug abuser and a victim of violence in the home, and certainly verifies this fact that this suffering can last a lifetime. I remember going with her in a very dark place, trying to offer counsel to her, in a very dark place when she at one point expressed the pain of this abuse that she suffered as a child and screamed out in agony from the depths of her soul, and you could just feel how much it affected her. But we live in a society where we don't want to call that person that perpetrates that as a molester, some kind of monster. No, we want to be kinder to the ones who perpetrate it. Some want to change that molester or that pedophile to a kinder terminology. A minor attracted person, a minor attracted person who afflicts this kind of agony on a child that they will bear for the rest of their life. No, I don't think we need to go there. I think we need to expose it for what it is. It's a monstrous act. Jesus himself said that the one who causes one of these little ones to stumble in some way, it would be better for a millstone to be hung around their neck and they drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, that person is not beyond the redemption of Christ, but as long as it's hidden, as long as we try to legitimize it in any way, they're far from the grace of God. God's grace can reach the victim as well as the one who's the perpetrator, but it has to be put out in the open where it can be exposed. The statement, this Vatican statement says, from this stems the church's ceaseless efforts to put an end to all kinds of abuse, starting from within. The Catholic Church has learned the hard way about perpetrators in the church. Unfortunately, many of these were priests. I was part of a parish growing up where there was an abusive priest. Even as a child, I could sense it. Going to the locker rooms when I was a young child and I was in the locker room, we took a shower, one of those things we had to do. This particular perpetrator, he would stand there smoking a pipe and looking at heinies. Now, I knew there was something weird about this, but it wasn't until later that it was exposed that this same priest exploited children to an even further degree and molested some boys in the parish. At that time, many times what the church did, unfortunately, was try to cover it up, to perhaps move someone after a period of counseling and not bring it out into the open. But sin thrives where it's not brought in the open. It has to be exposed. It has to be exposed to deal with it. And the Vatican, I'm glad, is learning that. We're learning that in the Catholic Church today. Expose it. It's sin. It has to be dealt with. Wherever there's children, though, it's a feeding grounds for perpetrators who would love to make them an object of their heinous lust. It's all over the place. And we want to legitimize it in different ways. Sometimes we want to legitimize it even by taking little girls and dressing them up a certain way and make them look like little sluts. What are we doing? What are we doing in people's minds? We tend to excuse it on certain levels. We may even try to dress up our little girls that way. But what are we doing? We're marring the image of God in that soul. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a few areas that touches close to home. But the last one is the third way that people are viewed, they're abused, is violence against women. Sometimes violence against women can take place in the workplace where many times men are looked upon with a greater degree of either promotion, they'll get promoted, or a greater degree of appreciation than a woman, especially if a woman wants to take time out to have a baby or perhaps to be with a sick child, and they're not promoted, they're perhaps even demoted because they're not quite as productive. But again, that's part of the same mentality where we want to maximize profits from people. But it can be a violence against women too. And unfortunately, we have domestic violence that goes on all over the world. And even in the name of religion, many times there's domestic violence where women are treated as a second-class citizen, as an object of violence, as they're controlled by their husbands, and somehow it's viewed as being religious in some way. A husband that uses violence against his wife is really trying to have total control of her. And unfortunately, many men, the only way that they know how to exhibit control or to have control is through violence. Some boys are taught that growing up. You know, it's the aggressive, violent one that gets the best deal or gets the most, and we venerate that. But when it happens in a home, it's a sad, sad situation. When a husband wants to completely control his wife through violence or other means, it can be emotional violence, it can be physical violence, it can be spiritual violence. But when a husband wants to have total control of a wife, It's a particularly demonic activity. Red flag ought to come to your mind if you're a person, you're a female, you're dating someone who wants to have complete control over you. If they don't want you to have other friends, they don't want you to have a close relationship with your family, but they try to pull you away from everything. Get out of it. There's another person that we, my wife and I, have tried to work with for many years, who is completely controlled by her husband. Not physically. No, it's much worse than that. It's emotionally and spiritually. He wants to have so much control that he doesn't allow her to have a cell phone. He controls everything. He controls the internet. He controls the cell phone. He have one cell phone in the home, and that's it. And he controls it all. And he lets her think, and tries to reinforce her upbringing. She had some rough spots growing up, and it caused some bitterness. And instead of encouraging there to be some forgiveness and reconciliation and repairing those relationships, he lets her know that no one has really loved you like I've loved you. I'm the only one that understands you. No one else understands you. I do. And at the same time, we'll use the name of Jesus to manipulate her to think how much he loves her. It's from the pit of hell. He wants to have total control, and she is a victim. And if he is encouraging her bitterness, it's one of the worst things you can do to any individual. Because as long as your life has bitterness, you will never be what God wants you to be. You will never have freedom. You will never be able to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ as long as bitterness is in your soul and he's encouraging it in the name of Jesus. This has got to be one of the worst manipulations I've ever experienced in my life. To use Christ in that way, to emotionally control and spiritually control another person, it's darkness, it's demonic. That one hits close to home, too. Instead, what is the cross? It's a place of self-sacrifice, where ultimately God, who became flesh, went to the cross so that we might have life. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, and he gives us what we need to become children of God, and he gives us freedom to become children of God so that we might exhibit his character in our life and enjoy the fullness of his love. Just the opposite of that is when you have domestic violence. When a husband controls his wife. The Apostle Paul said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her. Love is self-sacrificing. Love wants the other person to be all that she can be instead of trying to manipulate and control. I hope you hear this. The one that you know who I'm talking about. I hope that you hear it. And I hope you repent before Almighty God because his judgment is upon you. You are sending your wife to hell if you encourage her bitterness. Why do we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us? You need to encourage forgiveness. If you really love your wife, you'll encourage it. I'm sorry, folks. I didn't mean to get too personal here. There are scars in my own soul. There are hurts because I see it. I've experienced it in different ways. But I do know that there's healing. There's healing in Christ. There's genuine forgiveness. There's new life. There's hope for the future. No matter what we've experienced in our life, there's hope. If you've experienced any of these things, there's hope for you. Hold out. God loves you with an everlasting love. It's not God's love that did these things in your life. God gave people, human beings, freedom. And unfortunately, some people use that freedom for their own lustful, greedful ends. It's hurt. It's real hurt. It's a hurt that goes to the depth of the soul. It was a hurt, too, that Joseph felt in a domestic situation with his brothers. Yeah, they wanted to kill him, but no, instead of killing him, so let's make some money off of him. They threw him down into the well and sold him away to Egypt. But after many, many, many years, God took that situation and used Joseph, that same one who was abused by his brothers, to save the whole nation of Israel from starvation. And God used him in the lives of his brothers, and they were able to hug one another again. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. That's the hope. No matter what happened to you in the past, somebody else may have meant it for evil, but God can overrule it and use it for your good. If you're the perpetrator of it, repentance, a change of mind, not looking at people as objects for your lust or your profit or your violence, but seeing them as precious and made in God's image. You've got to change your thinking. You may have to change a whole lot of things in your life. But it's better to do that than to spend eternity in hell because of holding on to your sin. May God have mercy on us.